The chapter that I'm talking about this morning is called How to Enjoy Abundant Health for Creative Living. And it's an unusual chapter, and it's from the book called Ideas of Power by Ernest Holmes. And it's an unusual chapter because this chapter wasn't written by Ernest Holmes. It actually comes from a talk that was given by one of his best friends, a physician who is also a metaphysician named David Fink. And the timing of this chapter seemed to me, as we went through the last couple of weeks, that it couldn't have been better timing, because what he was saying was that stress is what causes problems with our health. And the very first quote from the chapter that I wrote down, he said, "Always practice relaxing your muscles and you will feel better. Relax them at every possible opportunity. Never use muscles in tension that you don't have to use." And that touched me. And I have been looking all week for things that helped me relax. And I'll get back to what Dr. Fink said, but the surprise that came to me is that much of what moved me this week was poetry. And so I'm going to start out with a poem by Mary Oliver because it's so in touch with what Rich just said about the colors of the wind. And it's called Messenger. My work is loving the world. Hear the sound, sunflowers, they're the hummingbird, equal seekers of sweetness. Hear the quickening yeast, they're the blue plums. Hear the clam deep in the speckled sand. Are my boots old? Is my coat torn? Am I no longer young and still not half perfect? Let me keep my mind on what matters, which is my work, which is mostly standing still and learning to be astonished. The Phoebe, the delphinium, the sheep in the pasture, and the pasture, which is mostly rejoicing, since all the ingredients are here, which is gratitude to be given a mind and a heart and these body clothes. A mouth with which to give shouts of joy to the moth and the wren and the sleepy dug-up clam, telling them all over and over how it is that we live forever. That gave me goosebumps when I saw it. And this morning, I always rewrite part of my talk in the morning, and the meditation that I chose to listen to this morning was actually a talk from my friend Charlie Curtis, who runs a Science of Mind study group and supports a Sunday group in Reading, Pennsylvania. And he was quoting Ernest Holmes. And Holmes said, "Thought is creative. And if you want good in the world, you have to think about good. Take time daily in meditation to go from being alone to being one with everything. True power is the awareness of the presence of God. There is a time for meditation, and that time is now. Because if you want to be happy, you have to be in that meditative state as often as possible, which allows your brain to go from high beta waves, which are caused by adrenaline and stress, and into the alpha, delta, theta waves of relaxation and peace. And so we are moving as we meditate from that stressful place to a place of greater peace and ease. So let me take you back to Dr. Fink and tell you some of the things he said. He said, when you are frustrated, a whole chain of events occurs within your body, including muscle tension, glands pouring forth adrenaline into your system, rapid breathing and dry mouth that gives rise to feelings of anger and hostility. And he tied that into problems with health and wholeness. And he went on to say, don't try to get well. Don't worry about your troubles. You can't help but get well if you only let God cure you and relax. Take it easy and remember it's only a matter of a few hours and you will be healed. The adrenaline reaction ceases. And in this story, he said, the temperature of the man who had a fever fell naturally. It is so simple. People make themselves sick with their attitude. And he went on to say, a healthy attitude, every physician and metaphysician would have you take would be to trust in the infinite love of God. So let's just breathe into that infinite love of God. How do we trust in that when things are happening? And his solution was five steps. Have a goal of what you want to accomplish and visualize that. I would say accomplishment sounds like action. And so I would say, what do you want to be? And his second step is directly to that. See yourself as the person you aspire to be. The third is keep it in mind by continuous repetition of affirmations and prayer and meditation. Then he talked about sacrifice, but I don't see what he was talking about as sacrifice. I see it as focus, giving up that which doesn't count for that which does. What is important, what supports you in being who you aspire to be. Essentially, as Beloved always told me, you're not trying to create something you're not. You're recognizing something that you already are. We are that. We are the love, we are the truth, we are the light, we are the grace, we are the power, we are the light of God expressing in the world. And we are that. So if we aspire to be that, then that's what we already are. And being that makes a difference. We've already talked about today that when we can give love, when we can support and encourage other people, we are making a difference. And that is what we're here to do. His fifth step was have faith and expect results. And that's what we are doing all the time. And as we look for all the places in our lives where we feel like we've made a difference, where somebody's told us that what we do makes a difference. I hear so often from my friends at Folk Club that they see my pictures and it uplifts them. I hear from friends in my various spiritual communities that what I do makes a difference and uplifts them. I hear this morning I normally don't go to the park on mornings when I'm speaking, but this morning I felt compelled to go to the park. And I had just a small amount of time, but I thought, well, I'll go for a half an hour or 45 minutes. That's what I have time for. And when I got there, there were two hooded merganser ducks, my favorite hoodies. I love the hoodies. And I know so many people who love the hoodies. And while I was there, I texted seven people, the hoodies are here. And before I got back to my car, Ed Surma was at the park going down to take pictures of the hoodies. I made a difference this morning. I'm sure he's not the only one I texted this morning who's going to the park today to take pictures of the hoodies. And that's what we're here to do. And as we do it, expect the results and then notice. Close the loop. Remind yourself, that's what I planned to do and that's what I did. I'm doing it. I'm being who I want to be. I am already that. I am that. I am God in expression, and my being here makes a difference. The things that I kept seeing today and this week all come back to the idea of meditation. And I got an excerpt from Krishnamurti this week that spoke to me as well. Meditation is really very simple. We complicate it. We have a weave a web of ideas around it, what it is and what it is not, but it is done of these things. Because it is so very simple, it escapes us. Because the minds are so complicated, so time-worn. And as the mind dictates the activities of the heart, trouble begins. But meditation comes naturally with extraordinary ease. When you walk on the sand or look out your window or see those marvelous hills burnt by last summer's sun. Why are we such tortured human beings with tears in our eyes? If you could walk alone among those hills or in the woods along the white bleached sands, in the solitude, you would know what meditation is. The ecstasy of solitude comes when you're not frightened to be alone, no longer belonging to the world or attached to anything. Then, like the dawn that comes up this morning, it comes silently and makes a golden path in the very stillness, which was at the beginning, which is now, and which will be always there. Finding the stillness in the now. Dr. Fink in this chapter said to a diabetic woman, "What would you do if you were well? What do you want to accomplish?" She wanted to conduct therapy and teach metaphysics. He said, "What's stopping you? Go ahead and do it and let the diabetes take care of itself. Take it as a matter of course. If it helps you to take insulin once a day, regard it as a minor annoyance. Take it and forget it and get busy with your work. Get something done." She did, and her blood sugar fell. It was as simple as that. I really appreciate Science of Mind because it doesn't say, don't use medicine, don't use surgery. It says, utilize the wonderful things that have been discovered and invented and created to support us. Use everything we have available to us. And somebody once made a joke and said, Christian scientists don't go to doctors. Religious scientists go to the very best doctors. And I love being reminded of that as friends have surgery, and Reverend Lori had a shoulder replacement, and all of her doctors and physical therapists keep saying to her, "You're way ahead of the curve. You're doing so much better than we expect." But she expects to do better. She expects that great healing that is natural to her to take place. And she relaxes into that space of meditation, and she allows it to move her into better and better places. So that's what Dr. Fink told us. And I was just amazed by the number of reinforcing messages to exactly that point that I got in everywhere I looked this week, email and online and Facebook and texts. People kept sending me things. And somebody sent me a series of quotes from Sarah Landon, who said, "Your body is trying to tell you something. Your body is doing a million things right now that you don't even know about. Cells regenerating, blood moving, breath coming in, breath going out. It's like a secret party happening inside you, and you aren't even invited. You think your body is just sitting there, but it's actually composing symphonies, writing novels, painting sunsets on the inside of your skin. Even the ache in your knee is a love letter, folded up and tucked into your bones. Your body has been whispering to you for years, but you were busy, emails and groceries and wondering if you left the oven on. It's okay. It still loves you. It's still trying. Take a breath. Take another. Feel your feet on the ground. You are here. And that's the greatest privilege in the universe." Wow. Take a breath. We are here. We are here together today, and that's the greatest privilege in the universe. Wow. That just that thought blows me away and makes me happy. I am so grateful for all of my friends who send me stuff. I have stuff from other friends that I'm not going to have time to share, but one sent a message that really touched me. It's a series of recommendations from something called psychcentral.com. A person named Kusala Bhikshu, Bhikshu. And he wrote some tips to help navigate the suffering of the world. Stay centered and more calm, and remain connected to your compassion. And that seemed like a very wise thing for us to be doing right now, is to stay centered and calm and connected. So here's what he recommended. Number one, stay in the present moment. In this moment, you're probably okay. Appreciate that and breathe into it. Find this sense of calm in the here and now, and the reality check that everything, everywhere, isn't falling apart right now. The second recommendation, focus on what you can do, not what you can't. There's an unending list of problems in the world. If we take it all on, we're likely to spin around with anxious thoughts. Where are you able to take helpful actions, perhaps in your own community, or small ways that you can share information and awaken others to what they can do to help? Number three, practice compassion rather than feeling everything. There's a difference between compassion, which is meeting the suffering and problems we see with care and understanding and the desire to help, and feeling all the pain and fear in our own body and psyche. Consider first responders as they are deeply compassionate, but meet the challenges with calm, centered focus in order to effectively help and heal. Remember to practice self-compassion too. You are deserving of the same care and attention. Number four, practice grounding and centering. Remaining centered keeps us calm and in balance. It's all too easy for our thoughts, emotions, and energies to become scattered out to all the problems on the planet and lose our sense of self. When we're scattered like that, we can fall apart with anxiety and despair. Instead, imagine drawing all of your energy back into your belly and breathe deeply. Then pretend you have roots from the belly down through your feet, going into the earth. The trees root deeply into the ground, not only for nourishment, but for stability. Allow yourself to also benefit from the stability that the earth offers. When your energy is retained and centered and has a solid sense of grounding, you feel better and you're more likely to be helpful on the planet. Finally, he suggested tap into something greater than you for strength. Whether you rely on your connection with the earth, the universe, God, or some other form of the divine or higher principle, such as love or truth, you can consciously connect to that, draw strength from something greater than yourself. Practice prayer and meditation and allow yourself to feel support from the infinite source. Feel support from the infinite source. Charlie Curtis said, there's a time for meditation, and that time is now. And I notice myself, I go through my day, I start out great, I go to the park, I see birds, I take pictures, I feel good, and then I come back and I tune into the news and I lose it. And I have to remind myself, oh, that's not where I want to be. That's not where I choose to be. I can choose to focus. That's where my power is. That's what Dr. Fink said. He called it sacrifice. I call it focus. Focus on what matters. Focus on where you can make a difference. Focus on returning to that place of peace before you take the action. And when you're in that place of peace and you're in that meditation and you listen, ideas come. What is it I could do? I could go to the park and see hoodies this morning when I didn't plan to. It's inner guidance that tells us this is where to turn right now. Turn the other cheek. Turn toward where the beauty is, where the light is, where the grace is, where the peace is, and that's where our power is. And if we can find the peace, we can share that peace. If we're in disarray, we're contributing to the disarray. If we're in peace, we're contributing to the consciousness of peace on the planet. And we're allowing ourselves to feel peace. Reverend Maria sent me a suggestion to watch an interview that David Letterman did with Vladimir Zelensky a couple of years ago in Kiev, where the sirens were going off. They were down in the subway and the trains kept going by. And he was talking about how to live in that kind of stressful situation in a space of connection and being able to take action instead of getting completely afraid and losing it, to be able to move forward under the worst conditions and make a difference for good in his country. And I see him making a tremendous difference in the world as more and more people rally behind democracy in countries all over the world based on his example. And I've seen many places lately where he is now called the leader of the free world. And in that, I learned that he wasn't just a comedian, which is what I knew about him, but he was educated and a lawyer and very intelligent and very clear about who he is and what's important. And he talked about the fact that he only occasionally got to talk to his wife and his children on the phone, but that was such an upliftment for him as he travels the world and inspires people to believe in the democratic ideals. I was so moved by who he was. And I've told the story many times of the man that I got to know online who was in Yemen when his country was overrun. And he said to me one day in a text in Messenger, "Outside, I hear the bombs and guns, but in here is a peaceable kingdom." My God, how that can be, that he finds the peaceable kingdom even then. And so I ask us to find the peaceable kingdom here and now, to bring that peaceable kingdom to earth, to the consciousness of humanity, to each of our own lives, to help us relax, reduce that adrenaline, bring our bodies into a space where it's nurtured and supported and able to heal and feel the love that's there within us. Go do what it is that you can do to feel the peace, to feel the love, and then share it in whatever way matters to you. I find that I am texting dozens of people a day, probably four times more than I used to, because I see something that inspires me and I know who to share it with. I have a picture of a bird that I know a particular person associates with a message from their mother, and I text that bird to them and say, "Mom, say hi," because I associate the same bird with my mother. What we can do is so tiny, but it can make a difference to someone who in that moment thinks someone thought of me. I say often when someone texts you, "Thank you for thinking of me today." I appreciate that so much. So I'm going to end with something that has been a part of my life since I was young. I think I discovered it in the 60s. It's called a poem called Desiderata. You probably have heard of it. I'm going to share a little bit of it. It starts out, "Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it's clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it's still a beautiful world. Be cheerful and strive to be happy." Max Ehrmann from 1920. The message has always been the same. Find the peace and share it. Find the love and share it. Be the light and radiate it. It's what we're here to do. And always, I am so grateful to each of you for giving me the opportunity to do this because it shifts me. It makes a difference in my life that you allow me to share what inspires me. So thank you.